Amen. I hope you love the Lord today. Thank Him for all that He has done for us. Thank you, praise team. Appreciate you. Thank you, Bethany, and all those that participate in the music. We sure are thankful for each and every one of you and for you using God's talent to help us worship this morning. Again, it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you are here. I want to preach to you on the subject this morning of knowing God's will. As a pastor, oftentimes the number one question I get are the people come and meet with me about wanting to know what God's will is about a certain subject or a certain thing in their life. And so today I want to just give you some simple things throughout Scripture that tell you directly what God's will is in your life regarding these certain things. And God's will is working out in each of your lives, and I believe that God has a specific will for each of you. So these verses are not going to tell you whether it's God's will necessarily for your exact situations or your exact things that you are going through, but it will give you a set of principles, I guess, that can guide you about knowing God's will. We've been doing a study on great words of the Bible, and this message kind of morphs from that because one of the words is found in this message today about understanding His will for our lives. First thing I want you to understand this morning is God's will is, I don't believe it's a secret. I think God wants you to know His will, and He wants you to follow His will. I think He has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us that He would have us to fulfill in our lives. So God's will is not a secret. He wants to show you which way to go. He wants to guide your steps. That's what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. God will direct your path and desires to direct your path and to lead you in the way of everlasting, in the way of salvation. So God has a will. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. God has not saved you to just sit still, but God has saved you for a reason, to fulfill His plan and purpose in this world. And so just five things this morning, and we'll look at five different passages regarding the will of God, starting in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, and we're going to begin to see this same word or the idea of will being used throughout these verses that we'll turn to this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says this in verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is that mankind come to Jesus Christ through salvation. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 says this, for God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. God's will is for the salvation of man through Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. That's where it all starts, is salvation through Jesus Christ. His will is that mankind would be saved through the work of His Son. Mankind is not saved by works. We're not saved by keeping of a law. We're saved by the work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's why we sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus, because Jesus is the reason that we have forgiveness of sin. And so God's will is that mankind would be saved through Jesus Christ. I once heard of a story of a missionary that had been on a land for many years and had only had one person saved. The missionary began to be so discouraged that he decided he would leave and go somewhere else because no one was responding to the message of Jesus Christ. The one man that was saved followed the missionary to the boat as he was leaving. And the young man, the convert, said to the missionary, would you please, missionary, would you tell me his name one more time? And the missionary responded to the convert and said, his name is Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know. The young man said, oh, thank you, missionary, for telling me his name again. And as he walked to the boat, the young man said again, missionary, missionary, would you please tell me his name again? And the missionary said, his name is Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know. Missionary got on the boat, began to leave the harbor, and the young convert yelled to the missionary again, missionary, tell me that name again. And the missionary yelled back, his name is Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know. And that went back and forth until finally the missionary fell under the conviction of God and said, what am I doing? He went to the captain, got off on the next island, revigorated, and led many to the Lord because of that story. Someone heard this story of the missionary and the convert, and I won't sing the song, but you probably know the song, wrote the song, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. God's will is for the salvation of man. God wants you to be forgiven of your sin through Jesus Christ. God's will is for man to be saved. That's the beginning of it all. Have you been saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know you have forgiveness of sins? God's will, he says in chapter 2 of verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 6 says he gave himself a ransom for us all. God's will is for the salvation of man. Then number 2 this morning, go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And we could get into a controversial subject this morning, but I'll just read the verse, these verses here. But God's will is for us to be saved. That's the beginning. That's the start. The second thing, after our salvation, God's will, he writes here in chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, where the Bible says in Ephesians, he says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And here's how he reveals and gives his will. He says in verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He's talking about a controlling, different avenues of controlling. Obviously, one being wine that is controlling in verse number 18, but that's the controversial subject we could get into, but that's not the topic of the day. The topic of verse number 18, he says, the will of God is that we be filled with the Spirit. God's will for us is that we are controlled and led by the Spirit of the living God. We may not always understand the direction we're going. We may not always recognize what God is doing, but God's will is that we are saved through Jesus Christ and that we are filled with His Spirit. It's God's will that you are directed by His Spirit, not by our own ideas and our own understanding, but by the Spirit of the living God that leads us and directs us in our lives. What is our navigator today? What is it that is directing our lives in the direction that we should go? Is it the Spirit of God, or is it our own ideas and our own opinions and our own will? He says, it's pretty clear. Josh, what is God's will? He wants men to be saved through Jesus Christ. Josh, what is God's will? He wants you to be filled and led by His Spirit. It's so easy to try to lead our own lives. And I've tried that before, haven't you? It doesn't work so well. I've made a mess many times trying to do what I thought was best or what I determined to be the correct decision. But God's will is that we are directed and led by His Spirit. Listen, I'm going to go off script just a little bit this morning. We make it so difficult. We make it so complicated in our lives. I have found that God is willing and wants to and does direct our lives. The word filled means be controlled by. Are we controlled by the Spirit of God? That's why he's making that contrast in verse number 18. Filled with the Spirit. Now, number three this morning, this is where we get to the word that I was going to spend an entire sermon on, but I decided it was probably a little much to spend an entire sermon on this one word, even though I'm certainly willing to do this. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. God's will is salvation through Christ. God's will is that we are filled with the Spirit of God. And then we get to a word maybe we're not so familiar with. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Now, it's very rare nowadays when you hear Christians talk about the word sanctification. I would imagine just hearing the word sends chills up your spine with excitement, right? When you hear the word sanctification, you're thinking, yes, tell me more. That sounds amazing to hear and to learn about sanctification. But it's in the Scriptures, and it's written of, and it is told us here that it is God's will that we are sanctified. And this is what he says in verse number 3. He says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." What does it mean that it's God's will that we be sanctified? I want to make this just as simple to understand as I possibly can, but it's the idea of once we are saved, the simple definition of the word sanctified means to be set apart or set apart from. That's the general idea of sanctification. So what are we set apart from, and whom are we set apart to? God's will for our lives is that we are set apart from sin unto service to God. God's will. Now again, you would not expect any less from a Baptist pastor, right? Let me just blow your mind for just a moment, okay? God's will for your life is for you not to live in sin. Did you know that? God's will, did that shock any of you? Right? God's will for your life is that we not live in sin. He says, "It's my will that you be sanctified." And so you are set apart. The moment you are saved, you have been set apart to God. And then we have, and we could get into some complicated things today, and this is a lifetime study for many people, what we call progressive sanctification. That God is working in our lives and setting us apart more and more for His service. You could use it this way. It's almost like the word growing in the Lord, our spiritual maturity. God started a work and is making us more like Christ and is continuing that work. That's God's will. God's will is that we are being more and more like Christ. Look at it this way. The Gospels in Matthew 5 talk about believers being light. So if we are light of the world, we should shine as a light. That's the idea of sanctification. We are light, so let's shine as light. Matthew 5 also talks about us being salt. I love talking about what salt does. Did I tell you about the time when I was a kid, there was a grocery store in town called Food Lion? You ever been to Food Lion? They're back east, all right? And there was a go-kart there at Food Lion. My mom would go and she would shop for hours. And as a kid, I would sit at this go-kart because they had a drawing, all right? Free, you could enter as many times as you wanted. It was yellow. Oh, I wanted that thing. I was about 10 years old, and I sat there the whole time while my mom was shopping and put my name, address, phone number, enter. Name, address, phone number, enter. Then I got my siblings along. Let's all of us, let's enter. We are going to win this go-kart. I mean, I was determined. I couldn't sleep the night before the drawing. It was the best day of my life. I knew that that phone was going to ring and I was going to win that go-kart, and I already planned where I was going to drive it. Would you believe right after the drawing, 9:15, the home phone rang. Weren't those the good days when you had a home phone with a 20-foot long cord that always got tangled up? Anyway, the home phone rang. Oh, I woke up. I said, Mom's coming up to tell me. Let's go pick up my go-kart. She said, Josh, you won. I said, I can't believe it. You got second place. Guess what I won? A country ham. A country ham. I've never seen nothing like that in my life. I said, well, you may as well go pick it up. We go pick up a country ham, and guess what's on the outside of that ham? Salt. It's covered in salt because it's country ham. We were in South Florida up to this point. We didn't never see a country ham before, and we got that thing out. We thought it was rotten. But what did that salt do? It is to prevent decay or to prevent putrefaction, right? My mom still has the bag from that country ham that I won. But anyway, it always reminds me of that story when we're talking about sanctification. We are light, let's be light. We are salt, let's be salty. What does salt do? It prevents things from rotting. As we look around in this world today, it is on a slide away from God, and the Christian should be shining his light forth, showing the love and the work of Jesus Christ. So we're to be light, let's be light. We're to be salt, let's be salty. And you know the only reason, the only way that salt begins to lose some of its power is if it is mixed with something else, then it begins to be diluted. And so God wants us to be strong for him as we work and show forth his love and his light in this world. So sanctification is the process of growing. There's a children's song that says this, he's still working on me to make me all that I should be or I ought to be, I think it goes. See, that's a simple way of saying God's will for me is that I should be sanctified. I'm set apart at the moment of salvation, and God is working in my life to make me more and more like Christ. I'm light, let's be light. I'm to be salt, let's be salty. I have been loved, therefore I should show love. I have been forgiven, therefore I must forgive. I live by the Spirit, therefore I should be guided by the Spirit. It's all part of that. God's will for every believer, he says, is that we be set apart for his service, whatever that may be. That's his will. Number four this morning, God's will is that we be saved through Christ. Number one. Number two, God's will is that we are filled and led by the Spirit. Number three is God's will that we be sanctified. And then while we're in Thessalonians, go to chapter 5 in verse number 17. Chapter 5 in verse number 17. He says, pray without ceasing. We recognize that. But he also wants us to rejoice every more. Go to verse 18. Sorry, Monty. Verse number 18. It's God's will, he says in verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that we are thankful. When we're thankful, that means you're acknowledging the source. Did you know that? When you're thankful, you're acknowledging the source. God's will for our lives is that we be thankful to him. One of the signs of the end times, according to the book of Romans, the Bible says they weren't thankful anymore. They began to think that they had provided for themselves. Let me just tell you something for just a moment. God is the sustaining power of this earth. At any moment that God lifts his sustaining power, it'll be over. The reason the sun is still doing what the sun does, and the reason the moon is still doing what the moon does, and the reason we still have the storms and the rain and all these things is the work and the power of God. We are thankful to God for what he has done. When's the last time as Christians we were thankful? When's the last time when our prayers we said, God, thank you for salvation. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for my friends and my church and my family. Thank you for the food that you've provided for me. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your love. Thank you that I can pray to you and that you answer my prayers. We should be a thankful people. That's God's will. He says, in everything, give thanks. What do you think in your mind right now that you could give God thanks for? Think of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Are we thankful to him? It is so easy to find something to complain about, isn't it? Who else finds that easy sometimes? I'm the only one, right? You're judging me, okay? You know, but it's so easy to be like, oh, it's windy. You know, no one's ever thought that in Westcliff, have you? It's windy. Or it's raining every afternoon. Or whatever it may be. It's so easy to find something to complain about. But have you ever thought throughout the day, instead of finding something to complain about, boy, I sound like Joel Osteen right now, don't I? I want to find something to be thankful for. God, you have blessed me. It's his will that we're thankful, because when we are thankful, we are acknowledging the source of the provision. It's God's will that we be saved. It's God's will that we are led and filled by the Spirit of God. It's God's will for our sanctification, that we're growing to be more like Christ. It's God's will that we are thankful. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. I mentioned this a little last week as we were talking on prayer. Oh, what a subject this is. The power of prayer. It's God's will that his people come to him in prayer. I love verse 5 of James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, me, I lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. God's will is that we spend time with him in prayer. One author says it like this: all of my failures are prayer failures. Others have written book after book on the power of prayer and what it does in our lives. God's will is that we be a praying people. It says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What an invitation that is. What an invitation we have to come to God. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Each of us have times in our lives where we need the wisdom and the understanding of God. It's God's will that we come to him in prayer. Now, I want to give you four applications this morning concerning the will of God. And these are principles that you can apply to your life as you seek the will of God in your life. As I mentioned, I've just given you some broad understanding of what God's will is. It's God's will that man be saved through Christ. It's God's will that you are filled with the Spirit of God and controlled by the Spirit. It's God's will for your sanctification. It's very clear. He says that in Thessalonians. It's the will of God, even your sanctification. It's God's will that we're thankful. It's God's will that we seek him in prayer. You say, well, Josh, I got something that's not covered by those things. How do I know God's will in those areas? Here's what it is, and this is not going to be terribly profound, but these are four things that I wrote down that I have found true in my life. Number one, this is going to blow your mind, okay? God's will is revealed to those who seek it. Maybe the reason you don't know God's will is you're not looking for God's will. Maybe you're seeking your own will. In God's will, you know what God would direct you to do, but it's not agreeing with what you want, and therefore you say, God, I wish you'd just tell me what to do, and yet the whole time he's revealing his will. God's will is revealed to those that seek his will. Seek ye first, the gospel says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God reveals his will to those looking for it. Many years of my life, I was not looking for God's will. And when God called me into the ministry, I began to seek God's will, and he revealed what his will was. Have you been seeking God's will in your life? Number two principle. When looking and seeking God's will. Number two, God's will does not go against Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible says. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's will does not go against his word. You say, God has willed me to hate this person. No, that's not God's will, because that goes against his word, right? I always joke with teenagers, because teenagers tend to fall in and out of love every other week, and I like to give them a hard time. When we would run camps in Virginia and North Carolina at the beginning of camp, I would always say to the kids, now, guys, at the end of camp, you're going to have somebody that you are absolutely convinced that you're in love with. And I always say, remember, it's not love, it's camp. And you're going to go your separate ways, and it's going to be over, all right? But I always joke with teenagers this, evangelism dating. That's what I used to tell the teenagers. Oh, I found this guy. He's not a Christian, Josh, but it's okay. I'm going to win him to the Lord. Really? Evangelism dating. That's what I always talk about. That's not a good idea, because that violates what Scripture says, be not unequally yoked together. And so we want to, God's will is going to go along with his word. His will not violate his word. And then I found, again, these are just things that I have learned over the years in my life. Number three, I believe that God uses more inward conscience than outward sign. I'm not saying he can't use an outward sign, but in my life, the will of God has always been within, as the Holy Spirit speaks in my heart. Sometimes we're so busy looking for clouds shaped like something or whatever that we're not listening to the working of the Spirit of God within our own hearts. And then we learn from Gideon, number four, we learn from Gideon that God can use sometimes different methods and different rules for revealing his will. And so in our lives, God's will is that men be saved through Christ. God's will is that we are filled and led by the Spirit of God. His will is that you would grow in him to be more like Christ or to be sanctified. He wants you to be thankful. He wants us to come to him in prayer. He wants us to seek his will. He wants to reveal his will in Scripture. He wants to work within our hearts to lead us in the direction he would have us to go. Are we seeking his will today? Do you want to know his will? Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come, and they're going to play a song for us this morning. Maybe you're here today as we bow our heads together and they begin to play for us. Maybe you're here today and you've been seeking the will of God. Maybe you're here today and you've been confused about the will of God and what it may be. Have you been in prayer? Are you seeking to grow? Are we being thankful? Are we sharing the gospel with others? God wants to reveal his will in our lives. Maybe today is a good time to say, Lord, help me to do these things first that I know your will is. And next, Lord, I got something in my life that I need your direction in. Help me to seek your will. Help me to trust in your word. Help me to listen to the Spirit's leading within my heart. Take a moment and talk to the Lord this morning. play one more time through the song. Seek for God's leading. Ask for His power and strength to do those things that we know He desires of us. Amen. Thank you, Joanne and Bethany. You can look back up here. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We'll read our closing verse for today. I pray for seeking His will, that God would continue to reveal His truth in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 speaks of this. So let's read it together, and then we'll be dismissed. Are you ready? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You have a will for our lives. We thank You for Your word. Lord, for those, including me, that daily seek Your direction, seek Your will, Lord, I pray that You reveal Your truth to us. And Lord, for those things that You have clearly revealed in Your word that are Your will, Lord, help us to be growing in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be filled and led by the Spirit of God in our lives. May we spend time in prayer. Lord, may we seek Your will and Your direction in our lives. You're an amazing God, and we love You, and we worship You this day. We thank You for the time we've had together. We pray, God, that You would continue to be with those that are hurting, those that are sick. Lord, we pray for Your power and Your strength and Your will to be done in each life. We love You, Lord. We thank You for this church. Bind us together more and more under the cause of Jesus Christ for His glory. And we thank You for all that You have done for us through Christ. Direct us this week. May we follow Your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.